Would this morning turn me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. For those who may be joining us via the internet, we're glad that you're tuned in. We broadcast our service on Sunday morning, beginning at 11:15, and also each Sunday night at 6 p.m. on Justin TV. And if you've got friends that you think might be interested in that, there's some cards in the back that have the web address for that. It's www.justintv.pastoratwood, and there's some slashes and stuff, but the car's back there. And if you are tuned in via the internet, we would love to hear from you this week. Our email address is on the Justin TV site there, and we always enjoy hearing from people. We've had a lot of response from folks listening to the broadcast and people that were at the conference as a result of that. And so it's been a good ministry and an opportunity to reach out beyond the walls of Grace Bible Church here, as do so many of our other ministries. All of our messages are on the internet, our website, Understanding Your Bible. And also we have the radio program and TV program. So a lot of outreach, and hopefully it's being used. We know it is because we hear from people, and we praise the Lord for that. All right, Matthew chapter 7. I want to start here today and just read some verses to kind of lay a foundation, because that's what I want to talk to you about, is building upon the right foundation. This, of course, is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus Christ is speaking in verse 21, and he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here in relation to the things that he has taught in the chapters 5, 6, and 7, when he's referring to these sayings of mine. But I want you to notice what Paul said about the foundation in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul wrote the 13 epistles that follow the book of Acts. And Paul said in the book of Romans, in the first epistle in that order, that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. He said, "I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office." As a matter of fact, in Romans 15, he said that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. So when Paul is saved in Acts chapter 9, Paul is given a separate and distinct ministry from that of the 12. And that ministry was to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. When Paul writes to the church at Corinth, in chapter 3 of that letter, starting in verse 4, he says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Now notice, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth, thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, folks, it's important that we understand what is the foundation and how we are to build upon that right foundation. The illustration used back there in Matthew chapter 7 was that there were two men. A wise man, he built his house upon the rock. That would be the right foundation. And the Bible says that the winds came and they blew and the rains fell and the house stood. But then there was another man who built his house upon the sand, which is the wrong foundation. And the winds blew and the rains came, and great was the fall of that house. Now, I think there's a great correlation there, because if we do not build upon the right foundation, then we are not going to be right doctrinally, which is going to cause us to be like that man that built upon the sand. And when the winds of doctrine come and the winds of doctrine blow, like Paul talks about in Ephesians 4, every wind of doctrine, we're going to be tossed to and fro. Now, Paul makes it very clear here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that he says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. When God saved the Apostle Paul, he saved him by his grace, because Paul was a blasphemer, according to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul was deserving of death, but yet God saved the Apostle Paul, that blasphemer, and Paul was called to be the apostle of the Gentiles. In his 13 epistles, we find the doctrine, the position, the walk, and the salvation for the church, the body of Christ. And when Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 3, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, he says, as a wise master builder. That word master builder comes from the same Greek word that architect comes from. It has to do with that which is at the very base or the beginning. The same word is related to commencement. It's the beginning of something. In other words, the idea is that God started something new with the Apostle Paul. And many people overlook that fact because they think that Paul's ministry is simply a continuation of the 12. Well, that is absolutely incorrect, and we're going to see that in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, when you go back to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that there is a foundation that the Lord Jesus Christ talks about, and that foundation was the foundation that that church in Acts 2 was built upon. Now, Jesus Christ, Paul says right here, for other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We need to understand that the foundation for all teaching and all preaching, regardless of who it was by, was Jesus Christ. But the foundation that Paul lays has to do with what he said about Jesus Christ versus what had been said previously. Let's look at some examples of that. Go back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. By the way, in Matthew chapter 10, we probably ought to stop there just quickly and read this verse, because it's important that we understand that in Matthew 10, verse 5, Jesus Christ sends out 12 disciples. He said, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then we know who the audience was, and we know what the message was. The audience was the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was not Gentiles like you and I. When Jesus Christ sent out the disciples, He was sending them out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and they were to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why is that? Because the King was present. And if they would accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, God would establish His kingdom. Now, with that in mind, look over in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." All three wrong answers. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now listen, folks, as far as the gospel of the kingdom was concerned, that was the issue in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Now, he's told them what to preach in Matthew 10 and who to go to. He asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" They say, all these different men. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock..." That confession that Peter made is the rock that Jesus Christ is talking about. The profession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And notice what he says in verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Then I know that from Matthew chapter 10, the whole time they're going out preaching, they're not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection, folks. They didn't even know about it. It's not until Matthew 16 that Christ reveals unto them that he's going to die on a cross. And they didn't get excited and happy about it and say, "Well, praise God, hallelujah, he's going to die for our sins," and so forth. They rebuked him. They said, "No way." Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Think about this. Those disciples, they forsook all. They gave up their jobs. They left their families to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he told them, "When the Son of Man sits upon the throne of glory, you're going to sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That was their hope. What he didn't tell them was he was going to die. And so the gospel that they're preaching in relation to this Messiah has nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection. They don't even know about it. Now, go over to Acts chapter, or I'll tell you what, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. In the first part of Matthew 24, in verse 3, "As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be?" He's talking about his second coming. "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And so he tells them about some things that are going to take place. But notice what he says in verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now folks, I want to tell you, most of the religious system today is building upon that foundation of the gospel of the kingdom. Thus, most of the messages will come from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's nothing wrong with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All the Bible is equally inspired. The point is that the doctrine in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. It was doctrine that was related to the nation Israel and their coming kingdom. And he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Well, notice what they did over in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, aren't they? Let's look in Acts chapter 1 first. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ is with the disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. And in Acts 1 verse 4, the Bible says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time, notice the question, restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They were to start in Jerusalem. And when Jerusalem was saved, they would become a kingdom of priests. They'd go into Judea and then Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. We know that they didn't fulfill that because Israel as a nation didn't accept it. And so in Acts chapter 8, Israel is dispersed. The disciples are dispersed. The 12 remain there. But the Lord has to changes the program in Acts chapter 9. Now, notice what they're preaching. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this profession, that I'm the Christ, he said, I'll build my church. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath of him to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which we now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Now notice, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That verse right there, for years and years, drove me crazy because I had relatives that believed in baptismal regeneration, and they would always go to Acts chapter 2 and read those verses, and until I learned how to rightly divide the word of truth, I had no answer. I mean, I believe the words mean exactly what they say on the page. And he said, repent and be baptized, not because of the remission of sins. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the gospel that they were preaching. That is the message that this Jesus, whom you've crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. That was what the 12 were preaching. That was the foundation that church at Jerusalem was built upon, just like Jesus said it would be in Matthew chapter 16. But in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved, and notice what he says about his salvation. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. You see, The kingdom message proclaimed Jesus Christ. It proclaimed Jesus Christ as the Messiah. The circumcision message of Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, ye men of Israel, preached Jesus Christ. They proclaimed Jesus Christ as the Son of God, proven to be so by His resurrection from the dead. But when Paul preached Jesus Christ, he preached Him according to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures, and that He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And listen, you cannot find that information revealed in your Bible until you get to the writings of the Apostle Paul. I know people go and say, well, says this, says that, God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son. It never said Christ died for our sins. Our being those who were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants promised, without hope and without God in the world. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Notice what Paul says about his salvation. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for the account of me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should have to believe on Him to life everlasting. I mean, folks, the words mean what they say. I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Why is Paul's salvation so different? Well, because the Apostle Paul was a blasphemer. And in Matthew 12, Jesus Christ said there was no forgiveness for blasphemy. As a matter of fact, Ananias and Sapphira would be a perfect example of two people who were struck dead in the book of Acts as a result of lying to the Holy Ghost. Paul was consenting to the death of people, having people put to death, and when God saved the Apostle Paul, He saved him strictly and exclusively on the basis of His grace. God saved him by grace. And he became the apostle of grace. He talks about the grace given unto him. Romans chapter 2. He said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. In Romans chapter 16, 25. He said that you're established by my gospel. So the apostle Paul, when he said, I have laid the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ, it has to do with what Paul said about Jesus Christ. Look back in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. In verse 24. He said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, notice, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What did Jesus Christ say in Matthew 24 was going to be preached? The gospel of the kingdom should be preached in all the world. Listen, folks, the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God are not one and the same. The gospel of the grace of God is the proclamation that God's grace is now extended to all men. Acts 13, first recorded message we have of Paul. He said, all men are justified from all sins from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. So the Apostle Paul, when he says he has laid the foundation that he lays is that which he says about Jesus Christ, which had not been previously revealed in the Scriptures. It was called a mystery. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said that the dispensation of God was given to him to usward. So the Apostle Paul The foundation is the gospel of the grace of God. It's what is said about Jesus Christ. It's that new foundation laid by the Apostle Paul. He lays the foundation. He said he was the wise master builder. It's like the architect, the one who put down the pattern. As interesting, as a matter of fact, when he says over there that he was a pattern in 1 Timothy. Well, you know the first thing that you do before you build a foundation even? You get blueprints. You get a pattern of what's going to be down. I remember years ago I was preaching on a message similar to this, and I made the statement. I said, you know, a person would be a fool to start a house without a plan. Man came up to me afterwards. He said, you call me a fool. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I just went out there and drove some sticks in the ground, run some string and so forth. And he said, that's how I built my house. I said, well, how'd it turn out? He said, that turned out good. I said, well, I guess you're the exception to the rule. But listen, you start with a pattern. You start with a plan. And you build upon that. You lay out the foundation. And you build upon it. Paul lays the foundation. And that which is being built upon that foundation is a temple made up of people. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, we are the body of Christ. We are a new entity, if you will, that God started to fulfill His eternal purpose, to bring salvation to all men. You see, salvation was always available to Gentiles if they came through the Jewish nation. But when God saved the Apostle Paul and brought in the dispensation of the grace of God, all the distinctions were torn down. All the distinctions were done away with. That's why it says there is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free. Well, there certainly was a difference in Jew and Gentile in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A very distinct difference. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 15 called a Gentile woman there a dog. And said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You won't find Peter going to any Gentiles over there in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. You won't find Peter preaching to a Gentile until Acts 10. And then he had to be sent for. And had to be shown that God had opened the door of salvation to the Gentiles. It's interesting that Acts 9 just happens to come before Acts 10. So you have Paul saved, and then God uses Cornelius to show Peter that salvation is now available to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. He says, you are God's laborers. I'm sorry, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You see, we're all involved in a building program. And it doesn't have anything to do with mortar and bricks and clay or anything else. The building program is the church, the body of Christ. And we're to labor together as members of that body. We are part of a temple made up of human beings. We are the church, which is His body. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that which we just mentioned there, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Well, what is that habitation? Look back up in chapter 1 in verse 22. It says He's put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Listen, folks, there's a lot of information there in verse 22 and 23. He's put all things under His feet, gave Him, that is Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. Then we are the church, the body of Christ. Peter never one time refers to the church as the body of Christ. Paul is the only one that ever calls it that. This is a church. You see, just because you see the word church in your Bible, it's not always the same group of people. There was a church in the wilderness. The word church is the Greek word ekklesia. It simply means a called out group. There was a church in the wilderness. There was a church that started in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. It's the church Jesus Christ mentioned in Matthew 16. But there's a church that started with the salvation of the Apostle Paul, and it's called the church, which is the body of Christ. It says in verse 23, which is His body. And notice what this church is. It is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You see, the church today is fulfilling the purpose of God in that people today are being saved who could never have been saved under that kingdom gospel. Notice what Paul says right here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision of flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. You see, they weren't without Christ because of what they were doing. They were without Christ because of who they were. They weren't without Christ because they were smoking, drinking, doing drugs, running around, going to movies. They were without Christ because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Well, that tells me something then. You must have had to been part of Israel to have salvation. And you did. That's what the gospel of the kingdom is all about. Salvation through Israel. Obviously, Christ was the Savior, but it was to come through a nation. He said at that time you were without Christ. Why? You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, thank God for those two words, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Jesus Christ gave Himself a ransom for who? For all to be testified in due time. You see, the gospel of the grace of God is not just about the facts of Christ dying for our sins, being buried and raised again the third day. It is also about who is included in that gospel. And the good news today, folks, is that nobody's excluded. Anybody can be saved by God's grace who will trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, the gospel that Paul preached. You see, we're human beings saved by the grace of God, placed into the body of Christ, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 7. But in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. What did He say back there in chapter 1? That the body is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He gave some, verse 11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of what? The body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That word over and over. We are the fullness of Christ. We are that which fills up His body. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying, that is, the building up of itself in love. That's the church. That's the body of Christ. That's what's being built upon the foundation today. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and yet we are members of that one body, the church. The church is not the building. Church is not the structure. The church is made up of people. The church is the people. It's the people that are saved, that trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Not only are we the building, but we are the laborers. Look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 9. He said, we are laborers together with God. Folks, you couldn't find a better building partner than that. We're laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. He said, now, in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. While we're laboring, we need to take heed how we build upon that foundation. Here it is. For other foundation can no man lay than his laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Brother Moore used to use an illustration that I've never forgotten. So many of his illustrations were just things that just stay in your mind. And he talked about how there were two men. One man was commissioned by the same boss to go into a mine and to mine out gold and silver and stones. And that man would go down into that mine every day, and he'd come out and he might have a little bitty old bag. And he would go, and people would watch him come day after day and say, well, that guy's just wasting his time. On the other hand, there was a man over here, and he was commissioned to do the same thing, and he said, no, there's no glory in that, no fame in that. He said, I'm going to build the finest furniture that you can buy, and he began to do so. And he built furniture, and people came from everywhere, and they just marveled at the workmanship and the way he was able to put stuff together. And he was proud, and he boasted in that which he did. But he wasn't operating according to the instructions of the one that commissioned him. And so the day came, and the man said, we're going to try that which has been done. And it's going to be tried by fire. And that man who had made his fame, he said, wait a minute, we can't put this on the fire. He said, this is my work. This is my work. This is my life. And he said, yes, but the test is going to be fire. As the Bible says, it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so that man began to see all that he had done placed upon the fire. And at the end, all there was ashes. And here's this fellow over here, obscure, insignificant individual, who has done exactly what he was instructed to do, and every day he goes down to that mine, and he mines for gold and silver, and he comes out with a little bitty bag, and he's filthy, and he's dirty, and sweaty, and people have disdain for him. But the man is obedient to do what he's been told to do. And he said, we're going to try yours by fire. And he takes that gold and that silver and those precious stones, and it goes through the fire, and it comes out on the other side more pure than it went in. And the man receives a reward. One suffered loss, one received reward. You see, folks, it's not always that which looks the best. It's not always that which is biggest and best. Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. What is important is that we do what God says to do, and we build upon the right foundation. Whether it appears right to other people is not the issue. Whether it appears successful to others is not the issue. What the issue is it according to the instructions of the Master, the one who loved us and gave himself for us? Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that what? Needeth not to be ashamed. Folks, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be ashamed when they stand before the Lord. And they spend all their life building up a system, a religious system, and it all burns. The Bible said, they may be saved, yet so is by fire. We want to be sure that we're building upon the right foundation. Paul said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, is Jesus Christ. He said, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Are you building upon the foundation of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Are you building upon the foundation of Acts chapter 2? Are you building upon the foundation the Apostle Paul laid? The gospel of the grace of God. The Word of God rightly divided. It is important. Because the Bible says there in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to trust in what He did, not trust in the gospel of the kingdom. You see, it's not just enough to believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. It's not just enough to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. You don't need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Why? Christ died for our sins. The Bible said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day. If you've never trusted that, you need to trust in what He did right now, and He'll save you. If you're saved, you need to determine to build upon the right foundation and understand that what you do in your flesh is the work that is going to be tried at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll either survive the fire or it'll be burned up and you'll suffer loss. I don't think we probably take that nearly as seriously as we should. Think about it, folks. That's what we're going to spend eternity with. Building upon the right foundation. Are you building upon the rock? Or are you building upon the sand? The rock is the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. That's where the building needs to be. Would you stand with me for prayer?